Lord, we trust in your goodness, Lord. Your favor upon your church, your favor upon your people, Lord. Throughout a year in which we saw so many challenges, Lord. A year, Lord, where we learned to operate and work and function in a different way. A year, Lord, that is going to be remembered by many, Lord, by the difficulties. But also, Lord, we remember your grace on it, your faithfulness and direction in every step of the way, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to trust in you, to allowing us, Lord, for allowing us to rely upon you and to just fall on you, Lord, every time we had a chance and every time we needed you. And Lord, many times, Lord, we walk in our own strength trying to do things our way, and you stopped us, Lord. You corrected us, Lord. You direct us in the right direction, Lord, and allow us, Lord, to be brothers and sisters, to be giving, Lord, to be generous, to be growing, Lord, to be moldable, Lord. You shaped us according to your will. Thank you, Lord, for your grace on that. And Lord, as we reflect on many of the things that went on, Lord, during the year, we pray that you allow us a heart of gratitude, a humble attitude this morning, Lord. And also, Lord, that we would just praise you and exalt you, Lord, for your faithfulness in every step of the way. Lord, we pray for every church in this community, in this county too, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we may reflect on your grace and depend on you, Lord. That you will bless, Lord, the congregations, Lord. That you will bless, Lord, Stillwater Church this morning, Lord, as they are facing challenges, Lord. Give them grace and wisdom and the right answers, Lord, to the questions that come their way. And Lord, we thank you for your grace on us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas and the amazing event that we had here outside, Lord. And we thank you for the time of worship that we had during that precious time and this morning, Lord. Now guide us through your word. In your mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Boy, what a beautiful worship this morning. Having everyone here, this is great. This is the year in which, I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like in some ways it went so fast. I mean, it was just the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden we're here on the end of the year, actually. Not only the year, but the weeks, just starting Monday, and then all of a sudden it's Saturday again, Sunday, and I have to preach again, you know. You know, I was thinking throughout the year on all the many blessings, and I told Brett, I said, Brett, why don't you just make it that in that panel back there on the background, we just have an accident on that highway that we have on Clear Vision 2020. And maybe some smoke blowing up, and we say that's the end of the year. But rather than doing that, I want you to just, and you'll see through this video how many things we were able to see throughout the year and experience. I was just going through this with Juliet and Jean and all the things that we saw through the year. And I thought, boy, I almost forgot about that. And this too, and, you know, it's not all the pictures and all the events, but most of it in regard to what happened to Winter Park Christian Church. So take a look at this video this morning here. Let me invite you to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Boy, this was a touching moment here. Just to look at everything that went through. I want to talk to you this morning about God's vision and God's goal and God's faithfulness throughout the year. It all depends on the lenses that you're using to see what really went on. And obviously, as I look at this passage and the things that we went through, it's a good time for us to just reflect on what the Lord did, what His plans were, what our heart was, and how God shaped it all for His glory. It says here in verse 1, the plans of the heart belong to men, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So, I want to just use this passage to start this message this morning, this time. And after all these videos, you know, just reflecting on the beginning of the year and looking through this, you know, this makes me so emotional just to think of all the things that the Lord just did throughout the year. But when we started the year, and even before that, I remember Doug coming and saying, we're going to go through the book of Mark. How you feel about that? We went through 1 Peter, we finished the whole letter and the whole epistle, and now we want to go back to Mark and maybe focus in the gospel again and just reflect on what Peter had to say to Mark and how Mark shares the same perspective of Jesus Christ. And I thought, okay, well, let's do that. And I'm thinking, you're the one who's going to do most of the teaching anyways, but I can help with that in some ways. And we said, he said 2020 stands for clear vision, for perfect vision. So we're going to call this year clear vision. And just look at that verse right there. We make a plan, and in our hearts we think, okay, this is the way we're going to go. But the answer, or the final answer, is from God. Amen? He's the one who says, this is the way things are going to go this year. You have no idea. I mean, how unpredictable things are. You start a day, you don't even know how you're going to end a day. But how many days we wake up and we take things for granted? We start the month and we take things for granted, or the week, or the full year. So it says in verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. I mean, in everything that we do, we think this is the best I can do. This is the best way to go about it. We all fail. We all make mistakes. But you know, God has a way to correct us and to direct us to what He wants us to learn. He weighs the spirit. And then He says, commit your Lord to your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Even as we plan and we say things and we think what we're doing is right, when we commit our work to the Lord, God will supernaturally and in His ways, He will direct our paths and our purposes. So God is in control, and He has a plan for us through every season. How many of you know that God had a plan for your life this year? A wonderful plan. And it's a wonderful plan because it is God's will, and we can grow and learn. All seasons are seasons of change, but some seasons, like 2020, are seasons of intense change and growth. But then through all that, God is refining us. He's shaping us. He's saying, you don't need this. You don't want to do that. You don't have to do things the same way you used to do them. Things are going to change here. And God is refining. He's refining our goals. He's refining the priorities that we have. He's refining everything that we do according to His will if we are listening to Him in the times of change and transformation. In every season, we are, as the Bible says here in this passage, we are to surrender our lives to the Lord. Just humble ourselves down. We make a plan. We do it with the best of our intentions in mind. But we commit our ways to the Lord. And we say, Lord, here we are. I have an open mind and I have an open heart. I don't understand if this is just your will completely, but you are free to change it every time you want. You are free to change my way of thinking. And if we plan with an open mind and heart and pray constantly and commit our way to the Lord, He will lead us. He will establish our ways, and He will direct us to the other side of the storm or the trials. And trials are the ones that test our faith. They test us. Do we really believe? And I really think this year, 2020, was a year of testing the faith of many. Are we still trusting in God? And if anything, I mean, where are you this year, the end of the year? Are you as faithful to the Lord and as trusting to the Lord as you were in the beginning? Have you grown in your faith? Trials test our faith, but also they refine our aim in life, as I was talking, and then they shape us to be as God intended. On the end of the year, we say, Lord, this is what you wanted. I didn't know how you were going to plan things out. We thought clear vision 2020, this is what we're going to do. But God said, I will show you what clear vision is. Amen. I will tell you how that looks like. And we say, God, this is not really the way we were thinking, right? I mean, why don't you just kind of change it? But God says, you will learn some things that you haven't learned yet. This is amazing. As Christians, we got to remember, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I mean, we belong to Christ. God molded us. He created us. He built us for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I mean, these very years, the works and the things that we accomplished by God's grace, this is what the Lord had in mind. He created us for such a time as this, as I will share in a little later. But you know, God plans us to go through these times, and in the midst of these things, that we will do what He called us to do. And you know, throughout the year, we were learning more and more that for those who love God, all things work together for good. You know, it doesn't matter how dark it is or how difficult it is or the decisions that we have to take. God said, I will use this for good in your life. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, the Bible says, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the first among many brothers. God is shaping us. You know, one thing that is amazing through the years, God does not waste an opportunity to change us to His image, amen, and His will. He doesn't waste any circumstances. In fact, He uses them for good. And when He's using them for good, He is clearing our mind, He's giving us direction, and He's allowing us to be better every day. And as we encounter difficulties and challenges, God uses us just about everything for good. No, everything for good. Do I trust in that? Do I believe that? Sometimes I do. Most of the time, there are some times when I think, Lord, I don't think you're really going in the right way here, God. I mean, I think it could be better to go in another way. But God says, no, this is my way. And God uses everything. He shapes us to be like Christ. So as you look in the video, Glenn went to Thailand on his mission trip in January. And when he came back, he said, I saw already in the airports people wearing masks, because we knew from the beginning of the year that there was this big virus threatening the world. And you know, in my mind, I saw this from December, the beginning of January, and I thought, you know, we are too far from China. That's what I was thinking. You know, this is nothing. Maybe it's just the media, you know, just people saying things. And then later on, I thought, by the time it gets here, America will have a way to control this. You know, we are too strong for this. We think those things, you know. We think we're going to somehow solve the problems. I remember that January went by, very normal. We had a lot of events in the church, you know, celebrate recovery and law enforcement day and sanctity of life, Sunday and all that. And then we started with Mark. And in February, we were planning, all the way from November, December, we were planning this belong retreat for marriages in Estes Park. And just about 4 days before that, I had to go to Mexico to the border, and I had an interview with my mom in immigration. And as I was coming back on a flight from El Paso to Denver, and everybody was already in Estes Park, I was surprised to get to Denver, and there was already a lot of people wearing masks, and the fear of, I mean, traveling, you can see the fear of what's going on. And so we had a great retreat, a great time. The couples were there. Doug and Marty shared in most of the retreat, and it was a beautiful time. And then we came back up the mountains in February, and March came. And in March, the big event was Chris Welch ordination. He was to be the new elder in our board. And I think I blame Chris for all this that happened, you know, because right after we prayed for Chris, everything came down. And Chris had been for a year going to the elder, more than a year, going to the elder meetings and seeing the decisions. And he said, I feel like God is calling me to an elder. So we brought him to the church and we presented his name and said, if there is anything by which Chris shall not be an elder, let us know. And 30 days later, we ordained him as an elder in March 15. And we were actually saying, are we going to lay hands on him or are we going to lay elbows on Chris? Okay, because this is what was going on now. That was actually the last Sunday, the last weekend that we had church normal through the year. Because on the very next day, which was a Monday, March 16, we had an elders meeting because the news and the regulations from CDC and the state and also public health and the whole nation were just coming and flooding. And Monday we had a meeting to plan out how we were going to do things. We finished the plan. By the middle of the week, we had to make another plan. And then again, by the end of the week, we had to come up with another plan because everything was changing so fast. And in March 22nd, that was the first Sunday that we were forced to have church in a different way. That was very, very challenging for me. I mean, you come to church, the worship team was here, 4 or 5 members on the team. Brett is up there learning how to live stream, and Jean and Juliet. Sarah is here, but you know, an empty sanctuary. And I thought, this is not what I signed for, okay? I feel like, and Brett is saying, just remember, you got to look at the camera. There's a camera back here. And I'm like, I don't want to look at the camera, okay? Don't tell me about the camera. I want people to be here in church. That's what I want. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how you look at things and you say, Lord, where is everybody? Where is the people? I want to worship with them. I want to sing with them. And I want to preach to them because I don't trust on that device that they're really looking at what's going on here. It's just hard. And really, I remember thinking through that time, thinking, Doug, you should be the one who does all the teaching. You should be the one who opens the services and all that. But I kept coming and I kept just trusting in God. And I mean, it was different. April came. We had no Easter Sunday sunrise service, the bilingual service that we've had for the last 14 years. That was the first year that, I mean, there were 4 cars in the parking lot and nobody here. And there was no sunrise bilingual service. Then Sunday school, obviously we didn't have Sunday school or Bible studies or prayer night or life groups. Everything came to a halt. And then we said, Sarah, why don't you give a little teaching during the services so that you can kind of get the kids involved from home. We were just trying to minister, to serve. And our meetings changed in the staff. I mean, we were having meetings, and in every meeting we were just talking about what went wrong during the weekend. What could we do better? What are the new regulations now? Brett was going through the regulations and just telling us the best he could what's going on. And we were kind of listening to everybody and just trying to abide by the law, but also trying to listen to the Lord and do the best we can. And there is extremes all the time. There is extremes, and you're in the middle, and you want to do the best you can. And we're saying, Lord, allow us to minister and to serve people the best that we can. And obviously, it was a challenge for many, but it was a big challenge for me during that time. And I said, Lord, is this really what you are calling us to do? What do you want me to do? How can I minister to people? Juliet was kind of making fun of this during the week. She said, it was so hilarious when you started to kind of, after a few Sundays just being behind the pulpit and looking at the camera, you started to kind of come out of the pulpit. And then you will go back in there and say, why do I have to go out? Nobody's here. And then eventually you were kind of free enough to do it and just forget about the camera again. And it was hard, but God led us through and gave us wisdom and direction and allow us to just minister to people during that time. Obviously, the school also changed in a big way. We had school online, the lockdown, the masks, the online classes, kids at home, and all of a sudden, everybody has to be on one device at home, right? And if you remember, you can't get into the rooms and just try to talk or make noise because somebody's in class right now, okay? Don't get in here. We're having a class. And everything is just changing. I mean, there was not enough devices in the house for all the kids. I had 4, you know, in different classes, and everybody's using one device, and you're wondering, okay, how long is this going to last? And how effective is all this? And you're thinking through everything that is going on, and you're trying to make the best out of the time when you have the children in your house. We played a lot of games, and it was a good time to focus in the family, to talk to family, to look at the news and go to the Word of God. Eventually, we started having some Bible studies through Zoom and calling people and just meeting and challenging people over the internet, over the videos. And then we went back to in-person services with restricted numbers. And I was looking at an email this morning where we are, and Juliet said it so well, we're begging people to come back to church. We have in-person church this Sunday. And then we counted the people and we said, okay, we still have room. We had about 30 people in the sanctuary. Would you be willing to come next Sunday? And, I mean, the things that we had to go through, I was just thinking about this, you know, things that a pastor should not have to worry, but you worry. You know, like, you're over there, and you're worshiping the Lord, and you start counting, and you think, oh, Lord, that's 2 couples too many this morning. What are we going to do? People is coming to church. We don't want that many people to come to church. It's the other way around, okay? And you're thinking, what's going on with that? And then the devotional resources, I mean, you provide as much as you can for people to learn. Notes and you know, paper and pens and Bibles. No, take it all away. They can't touch it. They can't see it. They can't have it. That's illegal now. And I'm like, okay. Now we're taking the Bibles away from the pews, right? And then not shaking hands with people. I mean, somebody told me, you know, when I look at you, you're just shaking everybody's hand. What are you doing? And I'm like, well, that's what I do. That's what I was told to do all my life. Shake people's hands and say hi to everybody and be cordial. And now you don't have to do that. In fact, you can't do it anymore. That's illegal. And you know, stopping communion for a while, because we had communion online services, but then when people came back, we didn't have a way to have communion in the safe way. So we just stopped communion for a while. So you go to church, but you have no communion. Taking the Kleenex away from the pews, and then stop serving coffee too. Everything is getting away. And then we stopped taking an offering on Sunday services. That was also different. I mean, we're not going to take an offering. We're not going to pray for an offering. If people want to give, they can give online, or they can put the money on their boxes or envelopes. And that was different for me. I mean, I'm used to doing it, you know, physically to let my kids see that we're doing this. This is for the glory of God. But we went in a different way, and we had to grow and be shaped in those ways in which the Lord wanted us to be led. And then, as we were having more numbers and we thought about having Sunday school again and kicking Sunday school, we came up with the idea of having a kickoff Sunday school service out there, and then grilling burgers and hot dogs. And we planned that for August 30th. And we were just excited about that and said, this is going to be great. A lot of people came, and we were able to see many again coming to church and enjoying the fellowship and obviously the food, which was great. And we did that for the month of September, and just a little bit in October, the beginning of October, as cold weather hit again. But one thing that I learned through all these seasons, these times, and you know, we thought COVID was the only situation that we were going to have in 2020. But one thing that I kept, as I told you, I want to just backtrack a little bit. I was challenged, and I was really thinking, Lord, is this really what I want to do? I mean, this is testing my devotion. It's testing my ability to share with people. Do I really want to get behind the pulpit and preach? And I was just being attacked by the enemy too in many ways. But through that time, something started happening in my heart. And I start praying and saying, Lord, I am your servant. And I'm going to do what you call me to do, even if it's hard. And something that, in fact, the staff listened to me say this a lot. Something that came to my heart was, remember, you are called for such a time as this. You are called for such a time as this. This is the year where the Lord is working in a different way. And what are you going to do about it? In fact, I think I was reading through a book. I don't even remember how this came about. But I was reading and just writing some things down on a paper. And later I found the paper and read it. And I wrote, God's work. And then I wrote, God's way for God's glory. But then eventually I added another thing to that phrase. And I said, it is God's work, God's way, God's gifts for God's glory. And it was like, Lord, if I am called for such a time as this, I'm going to do the best I can with the resources that you have given me. And I'm going to just do it for your glory. If it's good, praise your name. If it's not, you know that I'm doing the best that I can here in all these situations. And we have to trust the Lord during those times. And we have to really question, why do I do what I do? And what would happen if everything keeps changing for the worse? Am I still going to be standing and trusting in the Lord? And really, during this time, our faith is being tested in many ways. The faith of the church, the leadership, the elders, and the staff, and everyone in the church, you know, we need to figure out what was I made for. Lord, what is my call in life? I mean, this morning as you are here, have you realized what is your call throughout this year and the challenges that you face? Do you know what God is calling you to do? That's Christianity. Christianity is to realize God has a plan, and I have to surrender to that plan, and I have to do what I need to do with the resources that God is giving me for the glory of God. And many people is getting scared. Many people is running away. Many people is being frustrated. Many people is getting angry. Many people is being confused. But what am I going to do in the midst of my challenges right now? And that's where I had to just surrender myself and die 1,000 deaths. And say, Lord, Give me the strength. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God is working all things according to the counsel of His will. In every area of our lives. And if we are His people, He's going to combine the circumstances that we face and the people that we are with and our personalities all together, the three of them, and then He's going to shape us according to His plan. I mean, this is the year that has been given to you. This is the people that you are dealing with. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult to deal with people. I mean, it's difficult to deal with ideas. Why these? I mean, the email sometimes, you know, the questioning sometimes, the anger, the frustration, the confusion, you know, and then sometimes the accusation. You're not doing enough. You should be doing better. And you're trying to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here are my circumstances. This is the people that I am working and ministering with. And then my personality is in the midst of it. And sometimes our personality and our attitude is not the best, okay? And then God shapes it all and He says, I'm going to do my will in your life. In everything that He has already ordained, we should be not surprised. We should not be surprised, but rather trust Him and surrender to Him and standing up to do the right thing. Just, I'm going to do the best I can, Lord. And look at this. For me as a Christian and for you, this is our call. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which I had the opportunity to share part of this in the Belong retreat in the beginning of the year in February. But look what it says here. It says that as Christians, in verse 11, He gave the apostles for the church, and God, given the resources and the gifts that we need, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And He has a plan. When God gives something, He says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Our call is to serve God and to fulfill His purpose. And He's the one who calls us. He's the one who gives us the resources. He's the one who tells us how to do it. In verse 13, it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is my way. Yes, there is a lot of challenges going on, but I want unity in the body of Christ. I'm giving you the gifts. And I'm giving you the calling. And this is my work, this is my way, and this is my gifts for my own glory. And then it says right there, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Grow. When you are given challenges, grow. Surrender your life. Humble yourself to the Lord. Do the best you can. And then it says, right there, to the measure of the stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself in love. So, not only through June and July and August, but actually later, October, we were challenged again, and November. And one thing that I kept telling the staff is, remember, we are it. We are the ones that are called for such a time as this. What are we going to do? Are we going to give up? Are we going to fight? Are we going to divide? Are we going to say, you know, I don't like to work with you? Or are we going to change and do the best we can? We are meant to grow together in unity of faith and maturity and love. And really, one of the things that I learned through that is God had given us ahead of time the resources that we need. Brett and Juliet and Sarah and the worship team and everyone who was working here in the school, John Whittyfield and everything. And we grew together. I mean, going back to school, we went back to school after a different summer. A summer that we didn't do the activities that we usually do, like VBS. You know, that's a big event in our church. That's a big project. Summer sports camp, we do that and we minister to kids and all the events that take place in our church. We went in a different situation and the challenges were many. John and the school board were wondering, where are the finances going to come for the school year? I mean, we don't even know how many students we are going to have. Some of the things, the pressure of finding the right teachers and offering them positions. Because we didn't know if we were going to have the ability to start school. And here we are offering jobs already, the teachers who could be doing something else. And we're thinking, Lord, how are we going to do this if we don't even know how things are going to work? From the idea that maybe we were going to have 55 to 60 students, we went down to 40 students. And then a teacher resigned a week before, and another teacher went in a different direction just a week before. So things were changing. Decisions for parents. I mean, am I going to send my kids? Are they going to wear a mask? Do I want them to wear a mask? Do I want them to go online? Do I want them to go public school? Do I want to homeschool them? All these challenges were in our hands, and we were dealing with a lot of these ourselves as we were ministering to people who was dealing with these situations. I mean, just the rent for the college students and tuitions and tuitions and testing and COVID tracing. Are we going to let our kids be traced and all that? And traveling. How safe is the traveling right now for many who have to go from this place? But you know, God gave us the grace and He gave us the ability. And we started, and during many weeks there were all kinds of challenges in school and with our families, but God gave us the ability to continue. And then I remember in the midst of August, also another thing that we were challenged by is the transition that we had in the church. I remember, it was in July when one of the elders came to the board and he said, we need to talk about the transition. So during the month of the end of July, Doug and I met, and Doug said, well, they want to talk about the transition here. So we're not going to schedule much in the August meeting, which was August 17th. Rather, just let's talk about it. And I thought, here we go again. Am I ready for this? And really, I'm thinking, is this the year that we want to do this? I'm being challenged by this. And really, I was in no hurry, and Doug is in no hurry. But then we meet in August 17, and that's what we talk about. And Doug and I look at each other, and we say, well, what do you want? And just God gives us wisdom and grace and direction in every way. But the elders were really asking these things. And I remember they said, we came up with the idea that we're going to do it on the first weekend in January of 2021. We're going to do an official ceremony. We're going to pass the baton. And we're just going to share with the church what's going on. And I thought, okay, that gives us about 4 months. And I'm like, time to pray. Time to seek the Lord. Lord, is this really your way? Is this really the direction in which we need to go? I know we've been planning for this and talking and praying about this, but I want to make sure we do things right. And actually, God had a different plan in mind. That very weekend, things changed for Doug and Marty with their situation, with Marty's sickness and all that. And we showed up to church in a different service. It was completely different. Doug went into a sabbatical. I met with Doug throughout the next week and with his family. And right away, the elders and Doug said, we need to install you as soon as we can. We are already talking about the transition. Doug is going to need to be close to his wife. That's what we want for him. He needs to be able to spend all the time that he can with Marty. And you need to step up and do this. And I was praying and saying, Lord, is this really what you're calling us to do? And God had, He had been preparing me before this, saying, I called you for such a time as this. Step up and do the right thing. And so we went through that, and in October 4th we had the installment, and you know, we saw the grace of the Lord through that whole thing. I mean, that was the last service that we had outside. Doug came and his family came. We prayed for them, and I mean, it was just the way God wanted us to do this for the sake of His glory. Stepping into that and saying, Lord, I'm going to have to be preaching every weekend now. And how am I going to come up with something to share? I can't come up with anything to share for 5 minutes, let alone for 3 services every weekend. No, I'm just kidding. And you know, God has been faithful. God has been very faithful. And through that time, we learned to grow. We learned to work. And it's one of the things that I was thinking through these last 2 weeks is how we got to know each other. Like the school board. And John, and the teachers in the school, and the staff here at church, and, you know, the worship team, and just kind of work with everyone and said, you know, we're going to do the best we can with what we have. And God just gave us and extend His grace continually. And, I mean, we learned to do just about everything all together and to work in the best of our abilities. And then we had another situation. I remember after that I went to vacation. I went on vacation, and Dahlia and I had planned a trip to North Carolina with Ron and Pat in April. And that didn't take place because of COVID. Then we changed the flights and we said, well, we'll see what happens. And we planned to go on October 5th. And then when the time came for vacation, I wanted it to reschedule vacation because I thought, this is kind of odd. I'm being installed as a senior pastor, and then I'm going away for 8, 9, 10 days. And I couldn't do that, but we went. After we came back from that trip, right after we arrived, I think it was 2 days later when we had the Treblestone fire threatening Granby. And, you know, we're thinking, okay, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think everything's going to be okay. And all of a sudden, the fire is just getting to Grand Lake. I remember leaving the office here at 5:30, and when I got home, the smoke in Granby was just terrible. I went to Grand Lake and helped some people. I came back, and on the next day, which I forgot what day it was. I think it was Friday morning. John Whittyfield and I were here at 7 a.m. in the morning, receiving phone calls already. And by 10 a.m., there were 6 people here just with the phones in their hands all day, taking notes. And we were just planning, what are we going to do? And receiving people. And people are saying, can we park our cars there? Can we do this over there? And we said, we are going to open the church and make it a shelter. So that night, we had over 18 people sleeping in the school, in the school classrooms. We were feeding, the first night, I think it was 40, 50 people. The next night, it was over 70 people that we fed. And a lot of people in church came and cook and minister to others and clean. And I mean, I see your faces here. You were doing it. You were working hard. And we were saying, we're going to prepare dinners for people and lunch and breakfast. Sarah was bringing kids on the afternoon. We were taking care of kids. And everybody's doing something. And I remember Glenn saying, what COVID took away, the fire is giving it back to us. Now we see people back in church. And it was a joyful time. I mean, I'd be here till 10:30. We had dinner. And then Glenn will grab his sleeping bag and make his sleeping place over there in his office. I will go and spend the night with John Whittyfield and come back in the morning. And through that time, we minister a lot of people. City Market gave us a lot of food, and a lot of food came from different places. And we were able to, as we receive it, just give it away to other people. And I remember during the week, Glenn said, people is asking what to do. They don't have anything to do. And I said, well, let's get some chainsaws and splitters, and let's split the wood and start cutting it over there. Start cutting wood and split it. And we were able to do the firewood during Friday and Saturday that week. And it was a semi-truck full of logs and 8 trailers, dump trailers full of chopped wood already, wood that was cut in Lakota and somebody gave to us. So this was the year when we split more firewood than any other year. And then through the next 2-3 weeks, John said, let's put the kids to work and deliver food to every family that needs it out in Grand Lake or Granby, Fraser, Winter Park area. So in a month, we split the wood, and in a month, we didn't have any firewood anymore. So that was great. And God just, He gave us unity. He gave us direction, and He allowed us to step up and do the best we could. And, you know, when we look at these things, we don't really know how things are going to look like next year. Amen? We have no clue. We have no idea. I mean, just think of everything that went on during this year. But we know that God is in control. We know that God is going to pull us together to do the job of the Lord. I remember thinking, Lord, who is going to help us do all the things that we need to do? And from the beginning, I mean, Brad, he was laid off for many weeks, which was great because he was in charge of live streaming. And you know, God provided for him. And then Juliet came back from school from Wyoming, and she was able to help us with all these things. And, you know, throughout the year, God provided the right people. God did. And He called the right people to step up and do the right thing. And even when many were frustrated, many were just going to different directions, God called His people to do the right thing. And I think, Lord, thank You. We learn to see the faithfulness of God throughout the year. We learn to depend on God, but also to value communion with one another. In Proverbs, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Trust Him in every area of your life, and He will make straight your paths. So we have to trust in God, and we have to say, God, I don't know how You're going to work this out, but I know You are in control. You are faithful. And then I know that we are one body and you called us to be part of this body, the ministry of the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are many members. And then it says, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. And we learn that when someone is going through struggles, is suffering, we all suffer. And we are the same in the body of Christ. Jews, Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And as many members, we work together and we continue to see the hand of the Lord, the faithfulness of the Lord. And through every trial that we face, we saw God's faithfulness. We saw His faithfulness, but then our call was confirmed. This is what I think the Lord is calling me to do. This is what I want to stand up for. And this is what my children need to see in my house. This is what I think the Lord is telling me to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, look what this verse says. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the Lord in difficult situations. Nor of me, His prisoner. But sharing sufferings for the gospel by the power of God. In the midst of any circumstance, continue to share the gospel. And it is only by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. We have a special calling in the Lord. And God has a plan for us, as we saw. And it's not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. He gave us the call. He gave us the purpose. He gave us the grace. And He's saying, stand up and do the right thing. So throughout this year, we are sure of this, that He who began the good work in us, He will bring it to completion. And He's working in us every day through every circumstance. Amen? What a powerful thing. And it is my prayer and it is my challenge to you this morning, that as we face all these things and reflecting all these things, you remember and you question yourself this: is my faith stronger than it was a year ago? Is my call, the call of God in my life, confirmed in a better way through all these circumstances that we went through? And also, as we finish, just for a minute, focus on this: the grace of God is sufficient for us, for His power is made perfect when we are weak. I saw that. I learned that. When I have no idea how to do things or how to move forward, God will say, I am here with you, and I'm going to give you the grace that you need to continue. Amen? Let's bow our heads and just thank the Lord for this, not only for this morning, but actually for this year and all the things that we were able to see. As our worship team comes, we want to just thank the Lord and remember that He is being good to us through everything. Amen. His goodness has been present and manifested to us in many ways. Lord, we thank You, Lord, this morning. We adore You. We worship You, Lord. That throughout this year, Lord, You allowed us to see Your faithfulness, Your goodness. And Lord, there were times when we didn't have the best response. There were times when we were challenged in such a way, Lord, that we were tired, exhausted, Lord. We needed a break. We needed some help, Lord. We needed some direction. And yes, Lord, You were there to rise us up, to lift us up, to strengthen us. And we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, for the many people that contributed, Lord, to the work of Your kingdom in this congregation, Lord. In so many ways, Lord, we saw Your hand, Lord, moving forward and moving close in us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that in the midst of every challenge that we saw, we also see Your purpose and Your goodness, Lord. And everything works together for good, Lord. Even when we think this is a disaster, this is not easy, this is not simple, there's no answer for what's going on here. Lord, we saw Your goodness. And we are able to trust in You in the midst of darkness. Because You are the only true light, Lord, that leads everyone. So, Lord, we worship You. And, Lord, we pray that You make us better through every circumstance. We pray that we'd be willing to stand up and do the right thing. We pray, Lord, that You confirm our call. We pray, Lord, that we'd be willing to step up, Lord, and be your servants in every circumstance. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. We adore you. We give you thanks for every person in this congregation and in the worship team, Lord, leading and directing, Lord, in many ways. Now, Lord, to you the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.